the whole team should have stayed. It went to one.
He just has it. 5 seconds to go. Bridges for three. Yeah!
Oh! The big star delivers. The big star delivers. And that's what you want him, the big star.
Hey, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. Episode 23. Does not seem like we're that far already. It's crazy, man.
It is.
Absolutely nuts.
Time has flown by.
It really has. I mean, college football national title game was Monday night. LSU did LSU things. Clemson started doing Clemson things. And...
We'll get there.
Before we really dive into this week, just wanted to thank you guys for listening to us. And if you haven't had the opportunity yet, make sure you like us on Facebook, share us on Twitter, Instagram. We're streaming on all the major streaming apps. Make sure you rate us. Leave some good comments. If you don't like what we're doing, leave comments on it. Let us know what you would do to improve.
Most important thing is make sure you subscribe.
Yes,
wherever you listen to it at, subscribe, because that gets our viewership up. So
yep, absolutely. Appreciate it. You could also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at LD5215.
And my Twitter handle is at JWEccleston7. I mean, just another way to reach out, branch out. And if you don't want to do any of that stuff, just share this word of mouth. Tell somebody you work with, tell somebody you're friends with, if they're a sports fan in the area, to give us a listen and see what they think. So if everybody tells one person, then we could double our viewership easily.
That
would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So this week we're going to talk a little, like already alluded to, national title game. Talk some NFL, then do a little college basketball, talk about some NBA trade rumors. That's always starting to churn up this time of the year. Before we really dive into that, though, I mean, the biggest news story that's broken the last 2 days has been Houston Astros.
Baseball in general.
Yeah, baseball in general, just really cracking down on what they're calling cheating, which is... Yeah,
and that's a loose term. I shared something on Facebook about it from and I'm going to blank on who it was now. The old third base coach for the San Francisco Giants, I can't remember his name, but he released a long statement about it, and I completely agree with him. I mean, basically, so if you don't know, the Astros fire A.J. Hinch and Jeff Lunsford for knowing and partaking in sign stealing with the use of technology. So basically, it sounds like what it amounts to, and I don't think anybody truly knows the full story, but they were using a camera in center field to pick up signs from the catcher so they could tip pitches with, like, code of banging or whistles or whatever.
Yeah, they were banging a trash can.
And then there was talk they were using whistles and stuff, and I guess I don't get it. Personally, I mean, you fired a GM and a head coach. You forfeit their first and second round pick in 2020 and 21 and a $5 million fine.
Yeah.
And then it just comes out Alex Cora just got fired yesterday by the Red Sox. I haven't heard if there's more to that yet or not, but...
Definitely makes you wonder.
I mean, all these guys are getting fired, and I coached high school baseball for a couple years. We made it a point to steal signs.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching and playing. We tried to steal signs. Guys had phones, they recorded coaches, and we watch them to pick up tips and stuff on them. We did it. I guess I don't understand it. Part of baseball is adapting and being ahead of it. So if I thought somebody was stealing my signs, I changed them.
Right.
And I was a catcher my whole life growing up. If somebody was on my signs and they knew what I was doing, I changed them. We didn't use the same signs and back-to-back innings.
Yeah.
Like, and when you're catching, you go out and talk to your pitcher. And, hey, we're going to go first sign, we're going to go third sign, whatever. I mean, you change it up. And I guess I don't understand why this is such a huge deal. If you think somebody's cheating, then adapt.
Yeah.
Change what you're doing. This game is so mental. And we're complaining about people doing what they've done since The game started. They're just doing it differently now. I mean, I don't get it.
I agree with it. And I mean, on the other flip side of it, I mean, yeah, cheating is cheating.
But is it cheating?
I mean, to me, it's being smarter than...
Where in the rules is it that you can't steal signs? I mean, it's baseball. I don't get it. How is it cheating? Yeah. Is it cheating because somebody said they didn't like it?
You know,
That's the part I don't get. Like, where does it say it's cheating? Is there a rule? Because if there is, I haven't seen it.
You know, I definitely think there's a monster gray area that needs to be defined. Because, you know, you think about it like when you're at watching football games. I mean, you're going and you're scouting.
Yeah.
You're watching the sideline, the hand gestures. You're watching the signs are holding up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I totally get that. I don't know if it's just for the fact that they had a camera in center field just shooting in on the catcher to try and steal those signs.
You know how many of these MLB teams have the broadcast playing in the dugout?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the main camera for a broadcast?
It's true.
Behind the pitcher.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just somebody's bitching about it because the Astros have been spanking everybody.
Yeah.
And I understand. I saw the Altuve splits home and away. I don't care. No. Because that's different. That happens with everybody in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Parks play differently. You have that short porch in left field where it's a fly ball, is a home run. You do that in Comerica and it's an out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So the home and away splits thing means nothing to me. Because since baseball started, that's a thing. Like, people, there's Hall of Famers that were great at home and average on the road.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of baseball. I just don't get it. I mean, like I said, it's a mental game, so you adapt. You play mind games. You like the in that thing I shared, he flat out said, I would, once I stole the other team's sign for like hit and run, I would use that sign and then use our sign right behind it so that team would think that I was using their sign as hit and run. Like, oh yeah, he's using our sign, we got it. Mm-hmm. He's playing mind games. That's what baseball is.
Well, it's a chess match.
And the other thing that everybody's overlooking, and yes, I understand these are the best players in the world, you still have to hit the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Chris, the guy on Facebook that I'm friends with, he said that. He's like, you still have to hit the ball. I'm like, I agree completely.
Yeah.
Anybody that's played baseball knows how hard it is. And then you get at that level. I've been in the box versus 93. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So I get how hard it is. But I just think it's way overblown. And to fire guys and deduct draft picks and fines like this, I think it's way overblown. Well, but Pete Rose can't get in the Hall of Fame because he bet on himself to win. I mean, this is so asinine at this point. I don't get it.
No, I feel like the MLB is just trying to set one hell of a precedent right now and saying, well, if you get caught...
So that's the sword they want to die on? I don't know. I think the game is at a crossroads as it is with this generation and people not liking baseball as much and viewership is down. Why are you... Is this a try to way to get spotlight to it? Like, oh, look at us. We have stuff to talk about. We're over here.
That's an interesting... theory.
I don't know what it is. It's annoying to me because I'm a baseball purist. I like baseball the way it is, and the way it is you tried to get every advantage you could. We did it in high school baseball in Little Old Three Rivers. Mm-hmm. We tried to steal. I made it a point sitting in the dugout to stare and get signs. When I was playing, I remember in Vicksburg watching a guy on a bucket give signs to the catcher who then relayed it to the pitcher, and I was standing on deck and told the batter on who was up what was coming. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand how it's any different because they used a camera.
Yeah.
That's the only difference in this.
That's a good point.
And I don't get it. Adjust. Change. Adapt. To me, it's annoying.
I respect that. I mean, that's very valid.
I got a little tangent there.
You're good, man.
It's to me, it's so petty.
Well, that's what this podcast is about.
That's true. And then CC Sabathia's out there running his mouth. They should void their championship. Shut the hell up.
Well, the other
reason, ass beat.
Yeah, so that's the only reason they want to do that.
You got destroyed. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's a very Yankee answer. Anyways, I could do this for a while. I get annoyed by that stuff. So,
well, we'll touch on baseball here probably next couple months.
Draft's coming up soon, so the Tigers will get to blow that. So,
yeah.
crazy.
The good news is Gardy can sneak into top five for all-time ejections this season.
Is he that close?
Yeah, he's that close.
That'd be nice. We'll have to track that. We'll do a
the Gardy tracker.
Yeah. So what else we got news-wise? Do we have anything else to touch on before we get rolling into this?
Yeah, let's just go ahead and roll right into the national title game Monday night.
Yeah.
That was...
I think it was what everybody expected.
Yeah, quote.
Anybody that didn't expect it, I feel like was building it up in their head.
Yeah.
Or was like a big-time Clemson homer.
Well, you know, in the first quarter to watch the game, and Clemson's defense is... And Brett Venables,
yeah.
His defense looks good. I mean,
you can tell he had 15 days to prep for him.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because he threw everything in the kitchen sink at him. And even Joe Burrow said, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was at halftime or after the game or whatever, he even said, yeah, those first few drives, they were throwing some stuff that I've never seen before. But once he figured it out, it was pretty easy. I'm like, dude, this kid's got stones.
That dude has got swagger off the charts.
He does, no doubt.
Which actually, I did listen to a podcast today, which I, after you listen to ours, I do suggest you, shit, I lost it. Anyways, it's some of the Barstool guys who were still drunk Tuesday and sat down to interview Burrow in the morning and Ogeron. And it was probably one of the best podcasts I think I've ever listened to.
That would be amazing.
It was definitely worth a listen. LSU did LSU things. The first quarter, you kind of thought, man, this is going
to
be...
You know, it almost came out... I almost felt like that's how it was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Clemson would come out, like we said. Venables would have some tricks, and he'd have them off balance and guessing, and then eventually... Just the sheer talent that LSU's offense had was going to take over.
Yeah.
And it did. I mean,
when you have five wide receivers that, and a tight end that's built like a wide receiver.
Well, his dad's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
his dad's
probably a top three guy ever. So.
Yeah. I mean, that, man, and Joe Burrow's accuracy is just.
That'll be the big thing for him going in the NFL is, you know, he's accurate, but he doesn't have much of an arm. You know, you heard the comparisons to, like, Russell Wilson with not the arm strength and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares in the league when you got to make those throws every time.
Well, and I think to his benefit, he's going – granted, this is if it all goes the way it's supposed to go. Bengals take him one. He's going into an offense that's going to be a good fit for him.
Yeah.
Considering that Zach Taylor with Sean McVay. And so, I mean, I think he's going to go into a good fit. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. But, good God, man, that was a fun game.
Yeah, I fell asleep during it because, obviously, I get up at 3 a.m. to go to work. So I fell asleep during it. But I watched highlights, and I've seen enough of it to get the gist of what it was. I mean, Clemson fought, and then LSU just won the back half of the game. I mean, it was 17-7, I believe is what the score was, and then LSU went on a 35-8 run to end the game. So, I mean, that's just the story of what the game was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to me, if you watch that game, and you could say, Joe Burrow was phenomenal, Jefferson was great, Ja'Marr Chase did everything you could imagine. But to me, there was one guy that stuck out more than any of them, and that was Derek Stingley Jr. for LSU's defense.
Yeah.
As a true freshman, 18-year-old kid on that stage to make those plays continuously over and over and over again, that kid could be a number one overall pick in 2 years.
Yeah.
He is an absolute shutdown corner.
He had 6 or 7 picks this season, too.
Yeah. He lines up on teams number one as a true freshman.
Yeah.
He is going to be a monster.
Oh yeah.
You will see, if they get him involved in like special teams and stuff in a couple years, he will be in Heisman consideration.
Oh, absolutely.
He is just that talented. I mean, he is a top 5 pick. He'd be a top 5 pick right now, I think, if he could go out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just that talented.
His athleticism's off the charts.
He's 18.
Yeah.
So imagine when he stays in the program and develops and gets the muscle in the right place. Oh, my God. That kid's going to be a freak.
Mm-hmm.
Freak.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say who boosted their draft stock? That kid. All day, every day.
Yeah. When talking about draft stock, I think another guy that definitely boosted their stock in the game was, I mean, it's no surprise it's Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, 7 tackles, 2 for loss.
The Lions will be very happy to ruin his career.
You think Lions are taking him at 4?
3.
3, excuse me.
I hope they take him at 5 and trade back.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's
that would be ideal.
That dude is.
He's just so athletic, and he's a freak by how he's built. It'll be interesting to see, A, where he goes, and B, how they use him. Do they line him up as a safety, or does he play more in the box as like an outside linebacker? I mean, he's like Jabril Peppers, but like
bigger.
You know? I mean, he's just as athletic.
6'4".
Yeah,
he's huge.
Yeah, he's just a hybrid athlete. It'll be really interesting to see where he goes and how they use him.
Yeah. I think one guy who didn't help his stock at all was Grant Delpit.
Yeah, kind of just nothing. I mean,
he's just kind of afraid to tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking for the big hits, but he's not even laying the wood on people. Like, I don't know. Like, I at first was really high on him when the season started and as the season went on, and I thought, you know, he'd be good for us, but I mean,
he's still just in his build and how he is as a player. He's going to fit well in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you do have to question his willingness to tackle. I mean, you have to be willing to tackle playing safety in the NFL.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't come up. You're going to have to come up and fill the box. And when Derrick Henry's coming, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, there ain't many that are going to stick their nose in there. But which I saw a thing on Twitter today that said if Derrick Henry played a few years ago, like say Sean Taylor was still playing, they met in the pot in the hole, what kind of collision that would be? Because somebody was saying that like Derrick Henry runs too high,
yeah.
Like they, you know, olden days they would have lit him up or whatever. I would love to see Sean Taylor and Derrick Henry meet in the hole.
Oh my god,
that would be what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object right there. That'd be amazing. But yeah, on that note, he's gonna have to get some contact courage because these are men that he's about to step in there with. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people down on Trevor Lawrence, and that was definitely his worst game that he's played. But I mean, you can't. You're talking about a kid that's willed his team. Like, they're not there without him because of that. In that Ohio State game, like, he single-handedly won them that Ohio State game. So I mean, I don't put too much on that. He's gonna be the number one overall pick next year unless he regresses and Fields blows up. But
which I don't. I personally don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think he's your number one. He's the number one overall pick next year. He'd be the number one overall pick if he came out this year. Just the sheer talent ability. So, I mean, a lot of people down on him, but that's not warranted in my opinion.
No, absolutely not. No, he's, like you said, if it weren't for him, Clemson wouldn't even be sniffing a title game right now.
I'll be interested to see what happens with ETN too, because I think he's a good NFL running back because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and a lot of teams value that. He's bigger, so he can handle a better workload. It'd be interesting to see what kind of system he falls into.
A while back, I actually had posted on Facebook, I really think he's going to me, he seems destined for Kansas City.
It would be a good fit, except for they have 900 running backs.
Yeah, but not all of them are, I mean, but they're 900 running backs, but nobody's a surefire number one.
That's true. That's very true. You know, as much as you'd hate, well, not, I guess not anymore. Green Bay was another fit, but they've gone more towards a stricter ground game now.
Yeah.
I was thinking like old school Green Bay when McCarthy was there, he would fit in that style.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But no, we'll see.
No, so, yeah, so, I mean, and wrapping up this season, looking forward to the 2020 season, I mean, we've got, I put down here a way too early top five.
So, and I saw this, and I didn't do a ton on this, but I'm curious. Are you saying, like, what's the top five going to be when the year starts? Or who do we think the top five teams are? Because I think that's drastically different.
Let's say who we think the top five teams will be next.
Okay. So, to me, the top five teams, regardless of conference and all of that, I got Clemson, I got Alabama, I got Ohio State, I got Oregon, and I got Texas A&M.
Okay.
I think that, and it's a very, 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 very close six is Florida.
Okay.
I think Texas A&M is a team that you saw this year, and you referenced to it a lot.
Yeah.
That they are a team that could be the best 8-4 team ever, and they showed so many signs of being close. And one more year with Jimbo Fisher, and another top five recruiting class, and everything building to that.
will be good. Now, it's all for naught because it's going to be Clemson versus Alabama next year because those two teams are going to be fucking stacked. I mean, Najee Harris announced today that he's coming back for Alabama. So you might as well chalk Bama up as a title winner, depending on who, as long as they have a quarterback that's competent, because the defense is going to be way better, and they got all the weapons in the world. So, I mean, to me, that's my top five with Florida as a close sixth. But I think the SEC is going to be loaded next year.
Yeah, I think SEC is going to be nasty.
Yeah.
For me, Clemson, Ohio State, Bama. I did put LSU in there. I do think they've still got a good group of players.
I just worried now Joe Brady's gone and they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's my only fear. That system has been
where built. Did Joe Brady go again?
He's going to Carolina. In the NFL, he's going with Matt Rule.
Yep.
It's not like officially announced yet, but they basically said it's happening.
So. Yeah, that's a good hire for them. And then my fifth team is Penn State.
Oh, see, I'm not a believer.
See, I feel like the Big Ten again is kind of going into another more of a transitional year again, and I feel like that's an opportunity for a Penn State to really pounce on that.
Not a believer in Penn State at all. I think Sean Clifford got exposed. They lost KJ Hamler. They lose Pat Freiermuth. The defense will be solid, but they lost Hutter Grossmodo, so they'll have Micah Parsons back, but not a believer. Not a believer in Penn State at all going into next year. I think that's a 3-4 loss team next year.
Okay. And, you know, on my outside, I do have Florida, and I actually do have Texas A&M as well.
Yeah. Teams that I think will be overranked, I think Georgia will be overranked.
Yeah.
Their defense will be very good, but they ain't going to be able to score on nobody because they ain't going to have nothing for offense. I think I actually would not be surprised to see Ohio State regress a little bit because they are losing a lot.
Yeah.
On the defensive side.
Yeah.
And you lose J.K. Dobbins. We don't know, one, is Master Teague going to be off house arrest? And two, what kind of running back is he? I mean, can he be the every time? Can he be the every day, every down back like J.K. Dobbins was?
I like the little
had to throw that in there.
That's pretty good.
But I was trying to think, too. I had a team that I thought was like a big-time sleeper that you could see slipping in. Oh, don't be surprised to see USC make a rebound this year.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if it's USC and Oregon in the Pac-12 this year. Oregon's defense is going to be nasty. They're bringing back all their stud juniors on defense.
Wait, did we just say Oregon's going to have a defense?
Yeah. They're going to be nasty. So with all of that being said, I think we can put the college football season to bed for now. I'm sure there'll be some more recruiting. When recruiting signing day comes around, we'll touch on that a little bit more. But let's roll into some more of the NFL stuff. The draft's coming up, and we got all these playoff games going on. So what are your thoughts on how these how the playoffs have shaken out so far? We got the Titans pulling upsets, the Chiefs coming back from down, what, 24?
24
points. That was a gigantic comeback. So what are your thoughts on the playoffs so far?
You know, it's kind of a passing of the torch in a way. You're starting to finally see these young guns where they're saying this is the future of the NFL. This is kind of where it's going. I mean, I think it's extremely interesting to see Tennessee still in it. I mean, you've got Ryan Tannehill, who was outcast out of Miami, which I had something on my Facebook. I had said something along the lines, it's amazing to see what happens when players buy into a coach's philosophy.
Right.
And that's exactly what Tennessee's done. I mean,
they got behind their Ninja Turtle running back and said, let's do it.
Yeah, they got behind that, and they got behind, it's hard to take a franchise quarterback, bench him, and say, we're going to still win with the backup. And that's exactly what they've done. And they're doing it in probably one of the most memorable playoff runs maybe ever.
They're not just beating up on, I mean, those are two good wins.
Yeah,
they're two really good wins.
I mean, even if they lose this weekend, I mean, you can say that is one of the best runs of any team.
In almost
any sport. Because they went in, they killed the Patriots off, which Patriots passed 15 years of luck, everybody knows, just unbeatable. go into the Baltimore, which
slayed the beast. That was the Ravens, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Lamar Jackson made him look human again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hurt Lamar, I think, being sat for 3 weeks. Yeah. I think that really hurt him. He was really rusty. But I still say, and I will continue to say this, it helps when a team buys into a coach. And that's something I think right now, which I'm going to refer back to Detroit, is not happening. Like I've said before on here, you've got your Caldwell guys, you've got your Patricia guys, and you got the guys stuck in the middle. Tennessee, Mike Vrabel comes in and says, this is my vision. This is what's going to happen. They get into the beginning of the season. They look like shit. They set their franchise quarterback, who was a number two pick, for Ryan Tannehill, who got run out of Miami, who's throwing for less than 200 yards a game because they have an absolute freak of nature as a running back.
Yeah. And the same kind of philosophy that Patricia wants to do. He wants to establish the run and manage the game.
Yeah, and that's what Tennessee's doing, and they're doing it one hell of a job with it, and they've got a defense.
I was going to say, the biggest problem, Detroit doesn't have any kind of anything resembling a defense right now.
Yeah, and they've got a defense.
They have a fence.
Yeah, they have a fence.
They have no D.
And that Smith's in a couple pickets.
Yeah, big time.
But, you know, I got into, not an argument, but a disagreement with somebody on it. And they said, you know, well, Tannehill is still a top 25 quarterback, which I strong.
There's only 32 teams, right?
Right. Which
he's a bottom third in the league quarterback?
Right.
That's a horrible argument.
Yeah.
Say you're top 25 when there's 32 guys you consider.
Right.
That's bad.
Yeah.
He's not good then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's
my... that's the way I interpret that.
Well,
that,
and I mean, that's what I do, and I think what he's trying to say is the stats are still there showing that he's still a better quarterback, which, yeah, they're there, but how many of those stats were in garbage time in Miami?
Right.
I mean, how many games did he actually win at Miami?
Sure.
Does he have... I think maybe less than 20 his entire career in Miami.
He wasn't good.
So, I mean, I don't care what you say. It's buying into a coach.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done. And now they're in the AFC title game.
And they're going to get run.
They're going to get run out of the building because Kansas City looks...
healthy. That's the biggest thing for me. The Chiefs look healthy. Everybody looks fast again. You know what I mean? Like, there was early in the year, like when they were facing the Lions and some of the other games and they didn't look as good, it's like you could just tell they were a step slow.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't seem right. They look fast again.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, everybody's running, and you can't catch none of them.
No. I mean, Andy Reid, I think, is finally going to get his Super Bowl title.
You think so? Do you think it's the destiny to happen?
Jimmy
Garoppolo has something to say about that.
I don't think Kansas City, I mean, San Francisco, which then we'll might as well just jump into the NFC. I mean, San Francisco beat up on Minnesota.
So it's been pretty chalk.
Yeah, it hasn't been anything exciting except the Green Bay game, which, what do you know, referees helped Green Bay again.
I think it was a first down.
See,
in my opinion. Because you can't look at the yellow line on TV.
That's true.
There was another picture that was out there. If you look at from behind the play, the yellow line is like a quarter of a yard past where the stick is actually at.
Yeah.
So if you go by where, and there's somebody like, they laid it out, like, it looks like it's first down.
You see, and I think it's just another instance, though, where there's another questionable, a call at Lambeau, which does not help. And that chatter. So now Lambeau, I mean, Aaron Rodgers goes back home. He's playing San Francisco this weekend. Could be another slaying of the beast, passing of the torch. Rodgers to Garoppolo, which, God, I don't want Green Bay in the Super Bowl. God, I don't want it.
Well, I don't either, because Aaron Rodgers just screwed me in fantasy all year, so piss on him. I don't think it's going to matter. I think San Francisco's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think defensively they can slow down Green Bay, and I think Jimmy G gets it done.
And I think, and then, if you, so I guess we'll lead into, so your Super Bowl pick.
I got Chiefs-Niners.
Chiefs-Niners. I'm with you. I've got Chiefs-Niners
as well. And I don't even want to try to pick the Super Bowl because it's going to be super high score and it's going to be fun to watch.
I know. It's good. Sunday was the first time I actually sat and watched Kansas City in a long time, and good God.
I don't know how you stop them. When they're clicking on all cylinders, I don't know how you stop them.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
You have to outscore them.
You just have to keep pace, and you have to try and outscore
them. I think that Super Bowl matchup comes down to who can get one or two stops.
Yeah.
I mean, if you the punts are going to be under four a side, and if you're the, if you're winning side of that, you're going to win the game. I honestly believe that.
That will be a fun Super Bowl.
It could be. It could be. Where is the Super Bowl this year?
Atlanta.
So it's indoors.
Yeah, it's indoors.
That's important.
That helps Kansas City.
That's important for Kansas City, yeah. Fast track is good for them.
I don't know, man.
You might be right about Andy Reid.
I really think Andy Reid gets
I wouldn't be surprised one bit. I mean, that offense is just so dynamic.
And, I mean, it. But watch. Tennessee's going to come out.
And they'll just
control the clock.
Yep. They're going to have
8-minute drives.
This will be a 40-possession game, you know? Mm-hmm. It'll be so slow, like just slow everything down. Oh, that would be so bad to watch.
That would be. And, I mean, that's definitely not the matchup the NFL wants.
It's going to be a contrast of styles for sure.
Because
if KC goes and a couple drives, three and out, or they're not clicking, and all of a sudden Tennessee's got the ball for 12 minutes in the first half early on, and it's like, uh-oh, this is 14-0 already, and we had the ball twice.
Yep. Well, and the scary thing thought for Tennessee, and actually the league as a whole, Derrick Henry's a free agent this year.
Is he?
He's a free agent. So that dude is, he's going to get paid somewhere.
You think he wants to go to Detroit?
I take it. Shit, yeah, I'd take that. Him and carry on?
I don't think that would happen.
Nah, I don't. He's good. There's no way Tennessee lets him walk. There's no way.
They're going to pay him.
But no, so I mean, it sounds to me both in agreement.
I think so.
KC, San Francisco. And we'll talk on that in the next couple weeks after we find out this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. We're going to be wrong. It'll be Green Bay versus Tennessee now. That's going to happen now.
I'd say you want to watch the halftime show, but no, actually, it's Miami this year. It's not Atlanta. It's Miami.
Oh, is it in Miami?
Yeah, because it's Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
Oh, boy, that could change things drastically with weather down there.
Mm-hmm. If it's cold, or not cold, rain, but rainy.
Rain would be the biggest
right
thing.
That's right up San Francisco's alley.
That'll be interesting to see how the weather. I feel like the Super Bowl should always be inside.
Yeah.
As many NFL stadiums that are indoors, you should not let the weather play a factor in these games.
Yeah.
They mean too much.
It's true.
Like that Colts-Bears Super Bowl. What year was that?
That's like 20 years. No, that's like 2005?
I don't remember what it was. When the Bears won it or whatever.
Yeah.
That was horrible because it was just a soup fest. Like nobody could do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many stadiums that are all indoors, all over the country, so you can do it all over like you want to. I think it should always be indoors, but
Super Bowl I'm looking forward to is whenever they decide to do it in Vegas.
Yeah, buddy.
That new stadium.
Gronk will be there. Speaking of which, I started watching the Aaron Hernandez thing on Netflix.
I've heard that is incredible.
Did you know he was gay?
Yeah, he had a lover in prison.
And in high school.
Oh, he did?
Yes. No, you gotta watch it. No more spoilers. Sorry. Should have put a spoiler alert in there. But yeah, I watched the first episode. It's enlightening.
Huh.
Very enlightening.
I'm very intrigued by this now.
Anyways, NFL, what else you got? You got anything else to do? You want to roll into some college basketball?
Yeah, let's do some basketball.
Let's touch on a little bit of college basketball update from last week. So, sticking to the podcast, Michigan, Michigan State, both last week go 1-1, coincidentally, versus Minnesota and Purdue. Mm-hmm. They beat opposite teams.
Yep.
So, Michigan State beats Minnesota Thursday night, 74-58 at home, while Michigan beats Purdue, 84-78, in double overtime at home. Tale of two different games there, Michigan State. Kind of in a little bit of a battle first half with Minnesota, and then really the second half just showed why being at home and being more talented was important. They pulled away. Michigan and Purdue was just a flat-out dogfight back and forth the entire game. Michigan showed again why they missed Isaiah Livers. They struggled to make open shots when they were there from that certain positions, and then defensive breakdowns and the post defense again gets exposed where Travion Williams goes for 36 and 17 or something like that, causing all the stir in the Michigan basketball world why Juwan Howard's not double teaming the post and he should be doing all this, that, and the other thing. And I have a thought on that, and we'll get to that here in a second. But Michigan pulls it out in double overtime. So continue. The key here is winning at home on the road, or winning at home in the Big Ten. You've got to take care of home court at this point, because as we're going to talk about here in a minute, road wins are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. Because then Sunday, Michigan State goes into Purdue and gets absolutely run out of that gym from the opening tip.
Yeah.
And the point I was going to bring up was about doubling the posts is that's exactly what Michigan State did in the early part of that game. Purdue dumped the ball down the post. They double-teamed, kicked it out, and guys were hitting threes left and right on them. And I texted somebody about it when it was happening. I'm like, see, this is why Michigan wasn't doubling the post, because you give these shooters open looks. And at Mackey, you can't give them that momentum because you're not getting it back. And they got down like 17 early. I'm like, oh, boy. This game's over in a hurry. And to me, the other big factor to that game besides post-defense was how Purdue approached Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
So they picked him up full court pretty much the entire game. And that eliminated that transition offense that Michigan State has always thrived in, of getting quick buckets or getting the defense out of position. By picking him up full court with a couple different guys and Nojel Eastern, who was just super long, it completely got Cassius out of his rhythm. And then it showed that once he wasn't doing that, none of those other guys were ready to step up and make a play. So he's the straw that stirs that drink, and if you can take him out of that game, Michigan State becomes really, really average, really, really quick. So it'll be interesting going forward if other teams take that approach and try to slow him down by picking him up earlier. And if they do that, who steps up for Michigan State? Can Gabe Brown, can Aaron Henry, can Rocket Watts, can one of those guys step up in those moments and take over the game? Because Xavier Tillman's never going to be a guy that's going to take over a game.
No.
He's a guy that's going to work well off of what Cassius Winston does. So
he's a good supporting character.
He's perfect for that role. Mm-hmm. He plays the pick and roll so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting, because I have a feeling that's going to continue to happen the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the games that Michigan State's lost, Kentucky did the same thing. They put long, athletic guys on Cassius, and he struggled, and Michigan State struggled. So it'll be interesting going forward to see what happens there. And then Michigan Sunday also goes on the road and loses 67-75 at Minnesota, a game that early on they were up by 11. And once again, a post player, Daniel O'Toole, is going crazy in the post. Michigan can't stop him, but they're limiting everybody else early in the game. You get yours, you guys aren't getting yours. It was the same philosophy. Well, then that started to change because Marcus Carr started getting his, and then their other big, I forget his name, started getting his. And that theory of not doubling the post only works if you limit everybody else. And they didn't do that. And then Minnesota makes their little run, gets the lead. And then it just was a back and forth, a back and forth. The whole game, I think the second half, there was 25 lead changes in the second half alone. So that just tell you how that game played out. And another situation where Michigan just so badly missed Isaiah Livers. That defensive presence more than anything in this game, and then just again a shooter. So it was a tale of 2 weeks, or two teams, I guess, this week for both teams. I mean, at home get wins, on the road you lose, and that's just, like we said, that's just how it's gonna be, it feels like, in the Big Ten this year. So this week then you have both teams play Friday. Michigan State has Wisconsin at home, and Michigan goes to Iowa. So you have to feel good for Michigan State in their home game, but Wisconsin has played extremely well lately. I was just going to pull up their schedule. They are now 11-6, but they have beaten Penn State on the road and Maryland at home in back-to-back games. So this will be the third straight top 15 or top 20 team that they're going to play. Now, obviously, on the road at Breslin is no small task, but they're playing. There's nobody playing better in the Big Ten right now, probably, than Wisconsin. No. So, and they've got a tough road win already. So, and they've won at Ohio State. I mean, their last four at Ohio State for a win. They lost by one at home to Illinois, and then at Penn State and versus Maryland are wins. So, three out of their last four, pretty good. So, Michigan State's going to have to. They're going to have to play, for sure, to keep
their home court safe. And then you look at Michigan Friday night. They got to go to Iowa, and Carver Hawkeye is never an easy place to go into and win. And Michigan has a bad track record in there, and Luka Garza scored a million points in Ann Arbor. Everything reads Michigan's going to lose this game. Now, do I think they can go out there and win it? Absolutely. But they have to play better defense, and they got to make open shots. They haven't won a true road game yet this year. Every road when they've had been neutral games and stuff. So they don't have any true road wins yet, but it's a chance to do it, and it's going to be a tough task because we all know Iowa can score. So it'll be interesting. Only one game each this week, so that kind of is good for both teams. They get that little bit of a break, and they can recoup from a tough little stretch there. One last thing I wanted to kind of hit here with just the Big Ten as a whole. So there is a lot of talk right now that there's potential the Big Ten gets 12 teams into the tournament, that everybody makes a tournament but Nebraska and Northwestern. And it's very interesting that people say that, because right now if you look at it, the Big Ten rankings at the bottom are Northwestern, Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. And those are the bottom teams of it. So Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, who were all ranked in the top 20, are in the bottom five of the conference as of right now.
Good God.
And resume-wise, all three would be in if it started today.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody ahead of them would be in today if it started. You have Illinois, who is currently in second place in the Big Ten behind Michigan State, followed by Wisconsin, Indiana, Rutgers. Rutgers is fifth in the conference right now. This conference is so wide open. Yeah. I mean, it is going to be fascinating to see what teams can steal road wins, because that's what it's going to come down to.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's just this Big Ten basketball season is going to come down to who wins on the road, who's going to step up, who's going to get hot.
Yep.
And that's what's just going to happen. It's going to be a team that's going to get hot. They're going to ride it through the tourney, in the Big Ten tourney, and just how it's going to shake out. I mean, the only good thing for me for State this week, and I did see, was that Rocket Watts did appear to maybe get a little more confidence.
I think him coming off the bench has been beneficial for him. I think he's a guy that is, he needs to see the first, like, 5 minutes of the game. He needs to see that and get the flow of it for now, because next year he's going to have to step up and play.
He's going to be one of the guys.
Right.
I mean, another big news is, again, in college basketball, big number one teams or number twos and all these.
And Duke lost last night. Yeah,
Clemson. I mean, it's insane.
There is no elite team this year. That's 100%. Everybody said it's Duke. Duke's the elite team, but they've got two pretty bad losses now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, Clemson on the road, so that makes it a little better, but there are no elite teams. I think there's probably about 10 to 15 really good teams, and there's probably about 20 to 30 good teams. So, I mean, there's any number of combinations of teams that can be there.
This really reminds me of the year that Kemba took over the tourney. UConn
and the one that is an 8 seed.
Really reminds me of that season.
Yeah, because you could see a team like Seton Hall, who has struggled, get hot and get into like a 6 or a 7 seed and make a run with a guy like Miles Powell. It's so possible.
To me, I'm excited to start.
We're getting closer to February now, and we're making that push to March. And one of the things we put down here is, what are your keys for long-term success going forward into March? And I think we could just look at Michigan State, because I mean you could go deeper into it. And for me, for Michigan, it's one, you need to get Isaiah Livers back. That is priority one. Like, there's nothing more important to this team than getting him back on the court, because he just means so much in your rotation and your defense and just a scoring effort altogether. He needs to be healthy. That's number one. Number two, I think Juwan Howard needs to get to the point now where he understands that you're in the Big Ten, you need to tighten up your rotations a little bit. These times where you're seeing Adrian Nunez getting 4 and 5 minutes running a game, that needs to go away, and those need to go to your guys that are actually going to contribute, because he's just not ready to do that. That's fine in the gimme games, but these games, it's time to tighten up that rotation and get it down to what it needs to be. So those are my two things that Michigan needs to do going forward. Do you have some thoughts on Michigan State? Or?
Largely it was what Purdue exposed this past weekend. It's number one, the corner Cassius, and that's it. I think they need to figure out quickly who that number two is in that team.
I think that's number one, two, three, and four. Yeah. I think it's Ken, Aaron Henry, and Gabe Brown, because it has to be those two. Mm-hmm. I don't think Rocket Watts is that player. Ken, Aaron Henry, or Gabe Brown, or both of them, take the steps they need to be that second fiddle.
And they need it desperately right
now. Yep,
100%. I mean, it was exposed this weekend, and this is going to be a team that could be, like I said, could be the team that gets hot, runs through the tournament, and they end up a two seed, and they get upset. I mean, this is the team that it looks very apparent that this could happen.
Yep, absolutely. So, I don't know, long way to go. Basketball season's really heating up now, so we'll be previewing games every week again, and we'll see how games go Friday night, and we'll touch more on that next week. But I think with that, we'll get into some NBA stuff real quick before we shut this thing down.
So touching on the NBA, Lakers are doing Lakers things, Golden State's tanking, Atlanta Hawks are horrible. I mean, there's not as many storylines going on as you would hope getting this close to All-Star Weekend. But I guess two of the bigger stories or some trade rumors that are kicking up. First one I'm just going to touch on is because it's local, and it's the Pistons came right out and said, we are going to sell everybody. Nobody's safe. Which, yeah. That's
bold move.
That's a bold move. But I think where their payroll's at, because you've got Blake, which Blake, I think he's done. His best years are behind him now.
That experiment was doomed to fail.
And then Drummond, Dwayne Casey's setting him in the fourth period or fourth quarter because his effort just isn't there. So then when they're shopping around, Atlanta looked to be the destination. But Atlanta didn't want to give up what Detroit was asking. Now the rumor is that Pistons are only going to get second rounders for him. They're not even going to get a first round pick.
Wow.
So at this point, and at this point, he's going to hit free agency, and he'll probably get a max deal somewhere.
Which is stupid.
Which it's stupid because he could be such a dominant player in the league because he's shown glimpses of it, where he gets 25 points and 25 boards and 3 blocks. Like, he's shown that he can do it, just he's never had the effort. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't care. And to me, that is the most maddening thing about Andre Drummond, is just that lack of just give a shit. Like,
you can't teach effort.
No, I think the only bright spot the Pistons have going for him is Sekou. They finally let Sekou play. I mean, I don't know if you saw the clip where he absolutely murdered somebody.
Trying to murder somebody, yeah.
18 years old. I mean,
is he only 18?
He's like 18 or 19. He's like super young. So I mean, I think if you invest in him and you build around him, the potential is there. But that being said, I mean, it sucks being a Detroit sports fan.
Yeah, did you see that thing going around social media where the Detroit sports teams lost more games this year than anybody ever had?
Yeah.
229 losses for the city of Detroit this year. Whoo!
I mean,
obviously, baseball takes a huge thing in that because, you know, there's 162 games. But
the Tigers lost 120 or something.
Well, you know.
I have that. But I mean, Red Wings suck. Lions suck.
I was telling somebody at work, I'm like, it's a bad sign when the Lions are the closest team to winning in the city of Detroit. And it's probably true.
Yeah.
Now, I know the Red Wings have help coming from everybody. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but everybody I talked to said they have help coming. Mm-hmm. Like, it's coming up. They just got to wait. But,
well, it's kind of like the Tigers. I mean, it's coming.
I think the Tigers can be close. Mm-hmm. I do. Their pitching staff in the next 3 years could be something disgusting with what they've got brewing in the minors, but that's another day.
Yeah, it's another day.
So I saw something where Luke Kennard maybe to the Sixers.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that actually is going to lead me into my next rumor, is that Chris Paul from the Thunder to Philly So they move Simmons to the three or the four and allow to actually have a true point guard run the show. Which to me, supposedly the rumor would be that they would move, I have it written down here, I think it's Al Horford. Yeah. So the proposed pick is like Al Horford, Picks, and Mike Scott. Which if you're Oklahoma City, which nobody actually expected between Gallinari and CP3 and to actually work this year, and it is. But if you say you trade away CP3, the amount of draft picks you're going to get back is insane. I think right now they have just an absurd, I think they have like 16 picks over like the next something like 5 years.
You can rebuild your whole franchise.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be able to rebuild their whole franchise in a matter of, in no time. And also that Al Horford, Billy Donovan connections there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it would make sense. I think if you put CP3 on Philly, I think that's going to be what nightmares are made of. I mean,
it would definitely benefit Embiid and Simmons.
Yeah, and say you do put a Luke Kennard on there. That can
stretch the floor a little bit more.
Yeah, shooting, yeah. I mean, that team very quickly looks like a team that could beat Milwaukee. It's,
yeah.
I mean, very quickly.
Definitely. So it's amazing what a true point guard does for a team.
Yeah. And a distributing point guard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting right now. I mean, on the other minor news is Zion's finally going to play. It sounds like he's going to play next week, which if he wakes up from his nap on the bench, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Fell asleep in the Pistons game.
Well, I mean, it is the Pistons.
It is the Pistons. Which,
to be fair, I think Tom Gores was asleep too, but he might have been wasted too, so that's...
that's true. And I mean, it just before I really close down basketball, I think the sense of urgency with the Pistons addressed saying that they want to sell everybody. They've got a brand new stadium or a brand new arena. They're not selling it out, which I've looked at tickets and they're stupid expensive.
Well, they gotta pay for it somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, they're gonna pay for it that way, which you're not gonna get the attendance, you're not gonna get the excitement. They bit off way more than they can chew on this one.
Yeah,
I mean, can't go back to the Palace. That sucker's gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's rough sledding right now for... They need
a spark plug.
They do. They really do. And
the sad part is I don't know if that's in this draft.
No. One of the big names is, which he won't be there when we pick, it's a lot of people are really high on LaMelo Ball.
God, no.
Which, supposedly, to his benefit, he's very... to lack of a better word, more mellow than his father, and even Lonzo's a mellow dude.
Yeah, but his dad's still going to be around. You still have to hear LeVar's mouth.
That's a problem.
Pass.
Man, hard pass. So, with that all being said, I mean, that's really all I've got to say about Pistons right now. Only bright spot, Sekou. I think Sekou is... If things go right and Casey continues to work with him and he gets the right cast, he's gonna be good in this league. Do you have any thoughts on NBA or?
No, I mean I've said before I'm not huge on the NBA. I know that I have seen the rumors of the Pistons and I think it's not a bad idea to gut it. Just wish it was a better draft class coming out this year, so you have potential to rebuild quicker, but I think it's not a bad idea.
No, I think
they're not close to competing, so no. I try.
You know?
If you can't get into the top four spots in the East, there's no reason to keep delaying the inevitable.
It's kind of my thought is what will end up happening is we'll make at the end of the season, we'll be sitting about 9 or 10, and it'll be about 2 games separating us from 8, and they'll make it a push, and they'll make it an 8 and get swept by Milwaukee.
Yeah, again.
Isn't that
what happened last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time. And that's the Detroit way of doing things.
Yeah, that's very Detroit these days.
So, closing us down, I mean, we've talked some college football, sadly kind of starting to put college football to bed.
I think it is to bed now.
Yeah.
Until recruiting.
Which we might maybe talk about I don't know, some, if we ruled the world for one day.
Well, we'll have this summer, we'll have some fun little games when there's nothing else to talk about but the Tigers sucking. We'll have some fun stuff there. But I think as far as overall college football content, we're probably dead to recruiting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, said talks of college basketball, some NFL, some
NBA. It was a full episode.
Yeah.
We had talked a lot of things.
Yeah. Went a little all over. I don't know, man. Do you got any final thoughts before we...
I don't think so. I think we touched on everything we needed to do. And once again, thank you guys, girls, everybody for listening. Share, subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff we said at the beginning.
Yeah.
It really does help. And, you know, just tell a friend.
Yeah. Tell a friend. That's
the biggest thing. If you don't have friends, make a friend and tell them about it.
I like it.
I mean, you know, it could be a good conversation piece.
Could be.
Hey, I got something to talk to you about, kind of thing.
Have you
got
Spartan Wolverine Spear Podcast?
Just go for it.
That's the shit.
Just wing it. You never know.
Just do it. Do it.
Yeah, maybe Nike will pick you up and you can just, you know, do that.
Ooh. If they pick you up, could you have them sponsor us?
Yeah, we need it.
That would be dope.
What's up? All right, we're rambling again, so let's go ahead and shut this thing down. Thank you guys again for listening, and we'll be back next week.
All right. Go green.
Go blue.